In a world in which we too often look out for ourselves at the expense of others, God calls us to be different. Let each esteem others better than themselves. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking again today about mothers. I would hope that these programs will be of interest to people who are not mothers. We've all had one, haven't we? And some of you are hoping to be a mother, and some of you are married to a mother. Titus 2, 3-5, that passage that tells older women what they're to teach the younger women. And I have some letters here that I want to read to you today that I've had from some younger women. The very first thing that older women are to teach the younger women is to love their husbands. Well, we could have a whole marriage seminar this week and next week and the week after that and the week after that, but we're not going to do that. I've talked on marriage on this program, and I will be talking about it again someday, but right now, this week, we're going to be talking about this thing about staying home. We could spend a long time on loving your husband and loving your children, but one aspect which seems impossible for some of you, but which others are doing and many are struggling with, and I hope you won't tune me out here, one aspect of what it means to love your children. Again, I say I want this program to be an encouragement to any who would like to stay home. Maybe you're longing to, but you feel that you can't because of finances or because of your husband's insistence. Hang in there with me. You who stay home but find it less than fulfilling, hang in there too. I think there will be something for those who can't stay home, those who do stay home but find it less than fulfilling, and you who stay home and love every minute of it. Well, I dare say that the last category would not comprise very many of you. When you stay home, you can't help being a little bit wistful about not being able to put your makeup on in the morning and know that it will stay that way all day, a little bit wistful about not being able to buy some of the elegant clothes that you might be buying if you were working outside the home. There are always things to make us believe that the grass is just a teeny bit greener on the other side of the fence. There's always something to miss in whatever station we are in life. I hope that some husbands will listen. There are some ways in which you could encourage and cheer your wife. What have you said or done lately that cheers her sagging spirits? Well, here are the real life experiences of some of the women who listen to Gateway to Joy. One of them says, "Many of the encouraging letters read over the air have expressed my thoughts, but I finally decided to add my 2 cents worth. I have learned that unless I'm in a circle of close friends, my viewpoint of life and mothering and being a Christian woman is totally foreign to most of them. Sadly, even though those who call themselves Christian women have been swallowed up in many of the false philosophies of today. Recently, we had the privilege of becoming parents. Erica is 5 months old and an absolute joy, but there was a long struggle and sacrifice involved in our blessed addition. The first involved a change in my attitude of career versus mothering. The second struggle involved a decision of implementing radical biblical principles of wise parenting versus the chaotic disaster of today's popular methods of instinctive, demanding parenting, or non-parenting, as it were. Along with these struggles came the sacrifice of my job and some financial benefits, or so we thought. But when we stepped out in obedience, we were astounded at our Lord's provision. I guess we, like the Israelites, are forgetful and need to see the repeated miracles, promises, and blessings of God. We are abundantly blessed, and all our needs have been met. I drew confidence from you, your teaching on discipline, the example of a peaceful home, and the talk with your sister-in-law about spiritual training of children has been an excellent, tangible tool for us. We are excited about the future of our growing family and truly humbled by the great responsibility handed to us." So encouraging to get a letter like that. And here's one. "When my children were young, we had very little money, no car, and hand me down everything. But we had time together. How priceless that time was. We had time to turn the kitchen table into a fort, to make homemade bread, to read and read and read and read together. I greatly value those memories now that my children are teens. We all remember together the Bible stories we acted out. We still don't have fancy furniture. We've rarely had a real vacation, and our car is a 72 Chevy, but we have no regrets. A teacher asked me recently what I had done as a mother to turn out such, quote, good children, unquote. And I could say only two things. Much time together, quality and quantity, and the wonderful grace of God. And I'm sure every mother who is able to stay home and apparently seems to be doing exactly what this passage in Titus 2, 3 to 5 says, would be the first to acknowledge that she couldn't do it without the grace of God. It is the abundant, always sufficient grace, coupled with our response, our obedience, that makes the difference. Now, here's a very interesting column from U.S. News and World Report by somebody named Tati Ellis. Nashville, Tennessee. Every day we make decisions. Some are as insignificant as do I wear a striped or paisley tie or what's for supper. Suppose one morning you are faced with the fact that your husband will not be promoted to colonel unless you give up your outside job and spend more time with volunteer organizations on the base. More dramatically, your husband is a presidential candidate and you are needed on the campaign trail. Even though your husband has always taken your needs to heart, your career must go on hold. Most employed wives are not caught in the fast lane of a high-powered job. Ultimately, the majority of us have to decide what it means to stand by your man. In times past, most married women were not faced with such decisions. A career independent of the home was not considered. The care of their families made them persons of distinction. The family was where all their creativity and productivity took place. A wife took pleasure in promoting her husband. His success was her success. No matter what the husband's work was, the wife considered it her primary calling to emotionally and socially support his career. I have a problem with those who do not want to be me, who refuse to accept the fact that life has not passed me by. And when I had to read that a couple of times myself to understand quite what Tati Ellis is saying, but I think she means she has a problem with people who don't want to be doing what she is doing, and then she goes on to tell us what that is. I made a conscious decision to be a homemaker. I live much as my mother and grandmother did. My daughter has chosen the same career. It's a wonderful life. You are not torn between being at the fifth grade play or at the office. I have no argument with women who want careers out of the home, who feel they serve their family and society better by working for pay. I believe, however, the greatest contribution a woman can make is the molding and shaping of human lives. Proudly putting wife and mother on their resumes, many of these full-time homemakers enter the marketplace after their children are grown and their husband established in a career. They have been successful in one management career, and they can be in another. The traditional wife has the best of all worlds. She has time to smell the roses, bake the cookies, and be a friend. We should heed Peter Drucker, the social analyst, when he says, "We are busily unmaking one of the proudest social achievements of the 19th century, which was to take married women out of the workforce so they could devote themselves to family and children." Now, here's another letter from the mother of five. She doesn't work. Her husband is an RN, and I think we know how much nurses make, how much they don't make, and their parents are incredulous. She says, "Please continue to remind us that what we are doing for our children is important. I experience pressure from all angles to return to the workforce. We're living on one income. We are determined to see this through. We live in a mobile home, but the Lord is teaching us to be thankful and content. When my in-laws continually inquire as to when I am going back to teaching, I remind myself that by doing so, I would be saying that other people's children are more important than my own. While I thoroughly enjoyed teaching, it was not always exciting and challenging, as some would have us believe. After all, there are only so many ways that one can teach multiplication tables. Might I add, sadly to say, that the church does not always offer stay-at-home moms the support they so desperately need. And I'll put in my own parenthesis here. This is one of the reasons why I mention this subject frequently. Not to put down the women who find it impossible to stay home, although they would love to, but because the women who do stay home need encouragement. When my son was just 6 weeks old, she says, I was told by a member of our church staff that I needed a ministry. I realized the importance of outreach to others and that we are to use our God-given gifts and talents. Yet it seems the church would have us so overcommitted and busy that our families and their needs must go on the back burner. 2 Corinthians 9:8, that was the end of that letter. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, God can give you everything that you need so that you may always have sufficient both for yourselves and for giving away to other people. Here's something that applies to all of us, I think. If we give everything to God, ourselves, our families, our money, our ambitions, our worries, there's just no telling what God might be just waiting to do for us.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.